Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the honor of leveling up with thought leaders in franchising, business, and high performance personal development. Today's guest has become a close, great friend, but really a strategic partner in supporting and really an instrumental part of the growth at Lime. He started his career in franchising with Driven Brands, which, if you don't know, Driven Brands is one of the premier and definitely influential holding companies in franchising. They own brands like Meineke and Maaco. He was the VP of franchise development with Driven Brands. He went on to start a company called RPM, which does real estate construction. If you're not that familiar with it, really the storefronts that you see everywhere, this individual is a guru when it comes to leasing and build out. But more particularly, how I know this individual is through an organization called the Repem Group. This is a group that helps brands much like Lime Painting grow across the country. He partnered with a couple other founders of the Repem Group in Nick Sheehan and Jason Ryan. Today, I'm very humbled to have on the show, Rob Cambruzzi. Welcome.
Hey, Nick. What an intro, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And really happy to be part of the Lime system and happy to be here today. So thank you for that.
Glad to have you. So a lot of people have conceptions about franchising that aren't necessarily in line with what franchising is. You know, things like, oh, franchising is McDonald's or Burger King. There isn't a realization that a company like Maaco or Meineke or even a home service brand like Lime Painting is a franchise company. And so many cases, franchising finds you. So I was curious, Rob, how did franchising find you?
Not to give you too much on my background, but I grew up in real estate construction, and franchising found me the way it finds a lot of folks, which is a change, a big event change in their life, which was for me the 2008 downturn. I thought I was going to be in real estate construction my whole life. And all of a sudden, the downturn occurred and forced me to kind of find something new, find a new path. And luckily, I was led to franchising through some family friends. And Jason Barclay was one of those guys that helped me. I met him and he was selling franchises at Meineke. And ended up being pulled into franchising like a lot of us do, which is not the intent, but end up there and then get stuck because it's such a great industry. I ended up at Driven Brands and had a good run there and haven't really left the industry since.
So VP franchise development at an organization like Driven Brands, yeah, I'm somebody that definitely believes age is not a factor in business. And so you had to have been pretty young at Driven Brands as the VP of Frandev. I'm curious, what was that experience like? Take us through that journey. How did you get into that role?
Yeah, it was really great education, to be honest with you. And you're right. I was in my mid-20s, I think, when I got into franchising Driven. And I was lucky because Driven was a culture in which if you were willing to put in the time and effort and, you know, could show results, they didn't really care how old you were or whatever the case was. And so for me, it opened up doors that, quite frankly, I didn't know existed and allowed me to really blossom into this field. And really, granted, the education I got from Driven was one that I don't think you could pay for in any kind of school, because a lot of us don't go to school for franchising. So there I was able to learn everything from the right way of franchising, the legal aspects, all the unit economic side of how to look at their P&Ls and assess if a model's right. And then also to help coach people is one of the things that I found really awesome into, hey, I'm leaving corporate and now I want to go start my own business. What are the elements I need to be thinking about? So I was very fortunate to have that opportunity and then grow a team there. I did go through a lot of private equity transactions, which was interesting to see the different style of management there. I witnessed three during my tenure at Driven. Each one was different. It was just different initiatives, different goals, but different style of management, and was able to kind of adapt. And I think that's why I was able to be successful there.
You know, oddly enough, I had Ken Walker on the show. Yeah, I think he was there a little bit before your time. I'm not sure there.
I overlapped with Ken for about 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Saw the full, you know, regime change there. And like I said, was able to hang on. And there were a lot of folks that weren't able to make that pivot because you were going from more of a set in their ways organization of, you know, brands that have been around for 30 plus years to some of the new folks coming in from companies like Burger King or Yum Brands. Jonathan Fitzpatrick came in as CEO during that time, taking over for Ken. And came from more of that 3G capital kind of background and get stuff done and move the needle. And, you know, he's still CEO today and has done a great job taking it all the way through IPO and saw a lot of the foundational work to be able to create that. So I think when I joined Driven, it was called 1,300 brands. By the time I left, it was 3,000. So got a really great, you know, front row seat of how do you take a business and expand it and get to really, really good size. Like, so, and there's a lot of learning pains along the way that help really allow me to launch into what I'm doing today. So,
Yeah, most certainly. 1,300 locations to 3,000. Ken was sharing a little bit about that process of taking Driven Brands from really just Meineke, his role there as the CEO and chairman, and having a $350 million organization, then turning that into almost a billion. Driven Brands is just an amazing organization. All the lessons you learned there, I can most certainly see how it translates today. And with that being said, more so how I know you is with the Repham Group. And the Repham Group has done some amazing things for Line Painting and all the other brands that Repham works with, and helping each brand grow uniquely, but more importantly, confidently. And so I was wanting to hear from you, why did you start the Repham Group?
So Nick, thanks. Appreciate the comments there. And the reason why I did it was pretty simple. I was at pretty much the end of my rope with Driven. I had a couple brands that I was running as vice president. We had sold out the territory for the United States on my main brand. And I saw an opportunity that existed to help franchisors and franchisees that, quite frankly, a typical franchisor couldn't assist with, which is in the brick and mortar business of franchising, getting them open is a very difficult segment. Unlike where Lime gets them open right away, because you don't have to wait for the real estate construction. So that's a nice component about it. Some of these other brands do have that component that they have to buy a license and then wait to get that open. You're trying to get it open on time and on budget. And so seeing that opportunity, I decided to go ahead and start a business, something that I've told a bunch of other folks to do, probably thousands at this point, is leave corporate and go start a business. I decided to go super entrepreneurial, where franchise route is always a little bit easier because you have someone with a lot of arrows in their back that have done it before you that you kind of follow. But that blossomed into RPM. And the reason why I did that was really just to help units get open and help the industry as a whole. There's a gap there in that assistance and understanding all the components of what goes into that to help people be successful, which is, you know, setting them up for the right rent, setting them up for the right investment, really following that item seven. And so that just snowballed into what we are today, which is more than just a real estate construction group. We're a full service, you know, development firm. And when we look at Lime, we look at not just we don't even look at real estate construction anymore. We just look at the branding. We look at the operations component with Scalem. And we, of course, identify and really handle the process of how to take someone through the due diligence process from start to finish in the right manner. To do that, you have to understand the business. You have to understand the brand. So that's why we have some of these different segments. And that's kind of why we're created a little bit differently, is because we do dig into different areas of the business.
So really understanding that need to help franchisors and franchisees scale and open successfully, clearly taking your experience and the partners on your team, the collaborative amount of experience there to come together And clearly, I know pretty intimately those categories within Rep'em, the Brand'em, the Grow'em, Build'em, and Scale'em. So four different components there. That's a little bit different than what is pretty traditional in franchising, where you would have a franchise sales organization. Plenty of tremendous franchise sales organizations out there that do an incredible job of really that component of Grow'em and probably some of the Brand'em and Grow'em components that you were talking about there. But then Rep'em goes on to do the Build'em and the Scale'em. So that other part of the scaling that happens within a franchise organization. So beyond just that initial sale there, I mean, that seems genius there. What was that process like coming together with the team that started the Rep'em group? Clearly, that was an extension from RPM, which you had started in Charlotte. What was that process like coming together, and how did you guys come to really those four components of the Rep'em group?
Yeah, so it's funny you said it's genius. I don't know if it's genius because it's really just all the components of what makes a successful franchise work. And I think when I look at the industry, there's a lot of consultants that focus on just one of them or two of them. But when I think of what we do at Rep'em and I think of emerging brands like Line Painting, you know, I think about, well, if you don't understand all the size of the business, how do you take it to market? How's a consumer going to absorb this business into their daily mix? And how do you sell to them? And then also, once you have the sale, how do you make sure you understand how to operate this? And how do you scale it, right? So when I started thinking about all that, it just made perfect sense to have these four verticals. And I got some really great partners that love to just talk about because they're aces at these certain verticals, right? I mean, my background, again, was I did a lot of franchise sales and real estate construction. So I knew those pieces. But I always try to involve people that are better than me to be able to handle a certain part or aspect of the business. So if we are providing consultant services or we're partnering with a brand, we really can give the best of the best. So I look back at some of the folks I knew, two of the partners here today, Jason Ryan actually was my boss at Driven Brands. He was president of Mako. He had been COO and spent 15 plus years in that organization dealing with franchisees and operations and just the nuances of all the SOPs that he created and all of the training and the success that he had through those systems allows brands like Lime to tap into that resource. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Nick Sheehan, another guy, just phenomenal eye for emerging concepts that are unique, that have something special. And he also brings franchisee perspective to the table. He's been a franchisee. So, you know, we try to pull these folks together. There's many other people I can mention on the team, but just the partners in general have really great backgrounds that create us a little bit different than they create a different offering, but also a different level of service for our partners. I mean, we invest millions of dollars into the development where a lot of FSOs, if you like to call them that, franchise sales organizations, aren't spending that type of money and developing brands. And the reason why we do it, simple. We want validation. Every brand is successful if it has validation. People say they would do it again. If people say someone else should do it, then that creates the snowball effect that I love to talk about. That is what creates successful growth.
Yeah, that's a key component there. Pretty dynamic there, everything that you just spoke about, really at a high level. My gosh, I could spend so much time really just digging into a lot of those different elements. One of the things I was wanting to get your perspective on, as you look at growing with franchise system, there are different phases of growth. Clearly, you start off with zero locations that are franchised, and then 10 and 20 and 50 and 100 and 400. And with your experience there, with driven thousands of locations. So take me through from a high level what that looks like. How does a brand change and evolve? What are some of those key milestones in terms of number of locations as a milestone for growth?
Yeah, well, probably the best way to do it is just kind of use Lime as an example. And kudos to you because you've gone through a lot of these emerging phases already and are well towards your 100 unit mark. So basically, the way that this is typically handled is the first part is the due diligence of the partnership. We look at the brands to identify what are they, what do they have to date in. Maybe they have a couple of franchisees or maybe they just have a corporate model. the corporate model is really important because if you think about where the brand is going to go, there's typically a growth curve, and then there's a cash flow curve that kind of goes a little bit behind that because you have to get these things open and then wait for the royalties. So having a really great foundation to be able to support this and financially is extremely important for the jump off. And making sure all of our brands are set up with a self-supporting cash flow that allows them to then grow the franchise arm. And that's what exactly Lime had when we worked with you from the get-go. You had several corporate territories operating very successfully, and it was a great model. And that leads me to the second part, which is you got to make money and you got to have a good model. And it's got to be something that you can duplicate. And when we looked at Lime, we knew immediately because you had locations kind of spread out. They weren't all just one area, and knew that it wasn't just like anomaly for one market to be successful. And so the next piece, and I won't say last, but certainly one of the most important pieces is a differentiator. So identifying a brand that's got great unit economics, it's making money, seems scalable. That's great. But let's just use yogurt for a second. I mean, there's a lot of those meet those requirements, but are they different? Is there anything that really stands out? And for us, painting segment, quite frankly, is a busy segment. It's got, you know, some competitors out there. But what really stood out for us in Lime, and as an example, is your per ticket revenue was amazing to us. And the reason why it is amazing is because you focus on the higher segment of the business. We're working with $750 or $1 million houses plus. So it's kind of that upper tier of each market. And really focusing on that market allows you to drive $11,000 per job tickets. And when we looked at how that compared to the rest of the industry, we saw, you know, around $2,400, $2,300 averages. And so that means you can do a lot less jobs and make a lot more money with less sales, less marketing, and less people to deal with, consumers, which is always a good recipe. So, you know, you start thinking about those elements, and then it's got to be to have the right people. And clearly you're an entrepreneur, but you know, you can't just be an entrepreneur. You got to be a business guy. And kudos to you. You obviously are doing things like podcasts and being out there with peer groups and being a good leader. That's what it comes down to, someone that can guide the ship. And when you buy a franchise, you want someone that can guide the ship. You need a system that you can follow. You got to see that it works. And if you have all those components, it really drives a successful recipe for a good franchise. And that's what Lime is today. And that's what a lot of our partners are. But got to do a lot of diligence before we get there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great. And so if you could really boil it down to some location milestones, maybe it's a 10-unit mark, a 20-location mark, a 50, 100. What are some of those milestones that you look at to say there are some significant changes and the brand is evolving? What are those markers and indicators that you shoot for?
Yeah, it's always the first 10 or so that are kind of the early adopters. These franchisees are coming in and they're coming into a system that's still going to end up learning a bit. And then you kind of have the next segment, which are, they're not the earliest adopters, but they're not, you know, coming in with 100 units open. And so they've seen a couple of folks put the toe in the water. And depending on the AUV, the average unit volume for the franchisor, this also starts to change because you have a little bit of revenue coming in. Now you may start to snowball based upon the value or the all of the success of the first 10. And so those first 10 to get them going are really important to get them to be successful for the validation piece. And then the next piece is now you're hitting scale. And this is where you end up starting to resource a little bit faster than typically the revenue is coming in. Again, leaning back on the corporate unit or whatever your income source is to be able to kind of bridge that gap. So you have this first wave, the second wave, and then after that, we kind of look at royalty efficiency. It's where the amount of royalty coming in and fund the business to then continue its growth. And that's kind of the next evolution in emerging brands is, are they royalty efficient? And if they are, then it's a really good kind of ride to the top. And I'd say in between there, a good franchisor is always learning and is always adopting practices, best practices, and listening to the franchisee. So you kind of get a lot of great advice from the early adopters, and then you take kind of this louder voice and start molding it into what your franchise needs to be versus what you thought it was. And at the end, you're left with a really great system, hopefully with a lot of validation. And really, then it's just how much territory is out. So that's kind of the evolution of growth for a lot of brands on the franchisor side. And the franchisee side, depending on where you kind of came in, those early ones get the best territory, right? Sometimes they get some sweetheart deals. The folks that are coming in on the later part, I mean, you know, if you look at Orange Theory or something like that today, there's not a lot of territory out there. So there's pros and cons to both sides. But, you know, it's definitely an evolution in where you come in. You know, it's got different risk factors as well.
Absolutely. One thing that you mentioned there that I think is worth noting is the importance of having corporate locations that can be leaned on to get you through that initial phase of growth as you're scaling. Clearly, there's some overlap with those initial 10 locations opening and really starting to ramp. And beautiful thing about franchising from the franchisor standpoint and franchisee is that you're in business with other business owners. You're in business together. And clearly, franchise owners, as you said earlier, is coming in really relying on the arrows that were taken in the back by the franchise company. And that's the blueprint. That's the successful, the winning business model, where if you don't necessarily have the idea or the risk tolerance to really start up something from scratch, you can get all the benefits of being in business for yourself within a franchise system and come in and become an owner of a franchise. But as a franchise organization really growing together, there's that overlap with those early adopters. And the emphasis, the importance is supporting franchise owners as a franchisor. But there's that period of time where the corporate locations are really supporting the financial growth. And eventually those initial owners, franchise owners come in, they ramp, and those royalties begin to contribute towards the success of the organization. What an interesting and dynamic relationship there. And I really look at it as incredible partnership there. But you can see how that is really working on the back end in business together. It really isn't two different entities. There's so much overlap. Clearly, the franchisor is only successful when the franchisees are successful. And so that growth continues, as you mentioned, and eventually that franchise organization has enough franchise owners that are operating. And then what you mentioned, you become royalty efficient and are able to support the growth totally independent from the corporate locations. And that's a significant milestone. That's a significant shift in the business. When do you generally see that within a franchise organization?
You know, Nick, it changes because as you can imagine, certain businesses have $1 million average and others have $150,000 average. So it just depends on what we call AUV is for the brand. I'd say anywhere from, it could be as low as 20 units for some brands and it could be as high as 50 units. It's just kind of brand specific. So hard to answer that one, but I think it's one of those things where if you're not already prepared from the get-go and you find yourself kind of in the middle of it, it could be a really difficult situation. But a lot of the stuff that we do working with brands on the front end is modeling this out and helping them understand where they cross that threshold. And I would just encourage any emerging brand to do this or find someone to help them do this. So someone that's been there and done that, they can say, hey, look, this is what you need to be prepared for. Because listen, there's a lot of things that you just don't know until you get into it. And being ill-prepared or ill-advised is the worst thing that you can be involved with in a franchise and can lead to a lot of problems. And it's just not good for the industry as a whole. And it's definitely not good for those involved with that franchise. So we really try to do a lot of work on the front end. I know you and I and the team, Rebecca and Jason, going through that prior to even launching.
Yeah, but clearly this is your specialty, your wheelhouse. And yeah, I wanted to kind of get some of your thoughts on what that looks like. And if you could shed some light on what that process looks like, where you insert yourself along the franchise system as they're growing and scaling, give the audience some context around what that partnership with the Repum Group looks like, where, because clearly there's an element of growth on the Grom side. Something that's very unique about the Repum Group is the Scalum side. And it's more than just awarding locations or quote unquote selling locations. We've talked a lot about partnership and investment in the franchise owner and ultimately their success. And obviously this is the nuts and bolts of the growth and what it looks like on the backside. And it's funny that we're talking about numbers, but at the end of the day, for a business, the scoreboard is ultimately just that, and ultimately leads to sustainability for a franchise system. And so from a Scalum standpoint, that really what I look at is, I called it genius earlier, and you referred to as kind of just the what's common sense, but is really revolutionary in the franchise space for what is traditionally known as a franchise sales organization to take that step beyond just an FSO and really do the back end, some of that upfront due diligence, as you just clarified there. And there's this dance that's ongoing to support that franchise organization's growth. Would you mind leaning in? What does that dance look like? Clearly, that's what I think is probably the most revolutionary component with the Repem Group.
We like to say we don't identify as an FSO. And the reason why is, at some point, it can be reckless. And I'm not saying everyone's reckless with it out there, but I do think that there's components of franchising that need to be looked at, you know, before you just go dump 100 units on any branch. It's about responsible growth. And that's what we focus on, is really ensuring that before we ever launch, we do the right foundational work so that when we do go load 100, 200, 400, 500 licenses on a brand, that foundation is sound. And so that can be as short as 3-4 months of work before ever launching a brand, or it could be 9-10 months of work, just depending on where the starting point is and what do they have coming in from the corporate side. So identifying that foundation, you know, looking at the standard operating procedures that they operate today in their corporate units or maybe small franchise team, and the training that the franchisees are going to receive. Those are some of the items on this onion that we peel back. And understanding those allows us to then say, all right, everything that is best in practice is in place. Now we're ready to go sell it. It also does another thing, which is really interesting. It really helps us tell the story better to the franchisees. Nothing's worse than buying a franchise and the franchise salesperson is just telling you whatever you want to hear, but then you experience something different on the backside. So understanding those operations, understanding what happens when a license is sold and what happens in year 2 or 5 is really crucial, being able to actually do franchise sales responsibly in the right way. So, and what that does, again, back to validation and snowball, like it just creates that validation and snowball effect. So it's really important to then be able to sell more and continue this growth. And then if you think about it from a franchisor perspective, we're adding a lot of resources to you as a franchisor or emerging brand, especially because a lot of times you would have had to pull in a full for sales. If you were brick and mortar, you'd have real estate construction arm helping folks get open. Operationally, you may have hired someone at a C-level. But a lot of these things can be done later in the system because our company at Repem, we're bridging that gap from kind of making sure that that's all done on us. And we have to perform, by the way, to be able to pay for that. So we do our diligence on the front end to make sure that when we look at a brand, we're willing to bet on it. We're betting a lot of money because we're fronting a lot of human capital and resources to be able to tip up these brands. So it's definitely an all-encompassing solution for growth and growth the right way, you know, being able to do it the confident way and creating the right foundation. And that's what we really strive for. And I think we've now seen some of them go to some really big numbers, and we feel really confident about how that's been executed and lets us sleep at night. So we feel good about it.
As you were talking, I was thinking about staying on theme here. I was thinking about a building being built and really don't see much happening for quite some time. It's really a hole in the ground and a lot of that foundational work is being done. And then all of a sudden, seems like what's overnight, the building goes up. But for so long, it was really just a hole in the ground. And there was so much work being put into that foundational work. Like I said, being on point here. And from a practical standpoint, something that I really enjoy is being able to meet with the leadership team at Repem alongside our leadership team. And whether it's a new revenue stream or even something as simple as shifting up the org chart or quarterly strategies. As a leadership team, we've really been able to lean on, as you mentioned, the experience of somebody like Jason Ryan, who was the president of Mako. And that is day in, day out, just such an X factor and something that I've really appreciated and has ultimately helped me grow confidently. So I definitely appreciate that. And I think it's just something that most certainly helps our audience understand and level up their understanding of what it really takes to scale an organization. So clearly, you've spent much of your career in franchising. So I'm curious, Rob, why do you love franchising so much?
You know what? It's awesome, man. It's such a cool feeling to help people kind of break out and be their own or add to their portfolio or whatever it is. But it's just not the norm. A lot of us kind of get in the rat race and get kind of hunkered down into a corporate job and just kind of see others do it. But helping people get out of that and really kind of then seeing their families and their lifestyle change and all that, it's super rewarding. And so our goal is to make sure that provide that path and for the franchisees to follow that path. A good franchisor like you, Lime, you know, you have really great procedures. And if they follow it, it works. And so making sure that we provide that, that's the best we can do. And then it's up to the franchisee to do it. But when that comes together and you see the path laid out, that they've taken that road and it's led to some life-changing stuff. Gosh, it's really cool to then see it all blossom. That's what I love. It's super rewarding. And another part of what I really love is I got in this business really young and I love working with young people that want to also be in some type of similar role. And this allows me to do a lot of that. And I got in, there was a lot of 50, 60-year-old folks that not a lot of young people, not a lot of females. You know, I look at our workforce today, we're a super young group. We're 2/3 female at our business. And, you know, I think it's just a testament to the opportunity and where things are going.
I've always appreciated one of the things that Nick Sheehan has said. He only works with Aces, that team that you were just talking about. It's really been a pleasure to see that team take shape. And I always enjoy my time hanging out with the Repham group. Obviously, just a great group of individuals. And my gosh, I most certainly have leveled up on today's show. Rob Cambruzzi, thanks so much.
Really appreciate it, Nick. Thank you so much.
Well, if you have also enjoyed today's show, please give this video a like or subscribe to the channel. Through you subscribing, we're able to continue to grow and do just this, help others level up by speaking to thought leaders just like Rob Cambruzzi in the franchise space, business, and high performance personal development. And go ahead and drop a comment, contribute to this conversation. Clearly, we talked about some pretty dynamic topics. I'd be curious to hear some of your thoughts. And as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez show.